Woo-hoo. The dress-up part kind of got me. I'm Drew. There it is. We're good. Haven't had the dress-up part yet, so I'm a little worried about that. Not sure how that's going to go, but my name's Drew. Pastor Steve asked me to kind of give my experiences as a young dad, but I think we're all young, right? Dad of a young daughter or child, but before we do that, I just kind of wanted to stop for a second and to just say thank you to Pastor Steve and for everything he's done. The Bible says we need to give honor where honor's due, and without him and his leadership and his guidance in my life specifically, not sure where we would be. So having come here and served under you, I just wanted to say thank you and just wanted to honor you really quickly. So thank you. Appreciate you. But yeah, so my name's Drew. We got a little picture here. That's me, obviously. Hello. And then that's our daughter, Kinsley. She's in the middle. She just turned 3. My goodness. And that fine lady on the left, that's my wife. That's my wife, Laura. She's right over there. Give a little shout out. Woo! Woo! But this is my 3rd Father's Day. It's pretty crazy how quickly it's going. But before I get any further, did you guys ever call, like, Mother's Day or Father's Day, like, a cool, fun word or something different than Father's Day or Mother's Day? No? Am I the only one? Okay. Well, growing up, my parents, they always called it a second birthday. And this would be my 3rd birthday. Not sure if it's the same thing or not, because I don't really get the second gift. But we'll work on that. My wife Laura and I, we have a daughter, and we had the talk when we first got married 4 years ago, that we were going to wait. We wanted to wait, spend some time together, get to know each other a little bit more, and the Lord just said, hey, hold my drink real quick. I got a different plan for you. So then we had a baby, a year and a half into marriage, and it changed really quickly. I was telling one of my buddies at work, I feel like life together started when we had our daughter. Because I think in that moment, things change. You think differently. You operate differently. It's a little bit easier to kind of plan life together when it's just her and I. But when you throw in a baby into the picture, it kind of alters just how we're operating and how we're thinking. Another life to care for, another someone to love, to pay for, to look after, plan life differently. We do things differently. We don't get to do as much as we wanted to do, but we still love each other sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. But things are different. You got to plan your finances differently. Before she and I had our daughter, it was a lot different. We could be a little bit more free with how we wanted to operate financially. But things quickly find out how much diapers are, and it's a lot. But it made me think of a verse in Psalms, and it says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And I think about all the time, just when you get a gift and how excited you are and how much you cherish it and how much you love it, whether it's a golf club set or a car or a shirt or whatever it is, you cherish it a little bit differently than when you just go and buy it. And I think that's how we were when we had our daughter. We, went through some dark times during the pregnancy stages, and then we got a little girl as a huge blessing. And so I think in that way, I think life really started for Laura and I when she was born. I remember the call. I was at work, and it was at 9 a.m., and Laura says, so I'm in labor. You need to come to the hospital. And so I didn't immediately, because I kind of was stunned for a second, thinking that today is the day. And then I rushed to the hospital 45 minutes away in the pouring rain. So thankfully the Lord got me there in one piece. But she's 3 now, and it's crazy to think about how quickly life is changing, how quickly life is growing. And I think it all started when she was in the womb, speaking things over her, speaking life over her, speaking the things of the Lord over her, specifically Jeremiah 29:11. I think that was the thing for me when Laura was pregnant was, how as a father can I step up to the plate? and do what I need to do for our daughter. And I think that was the number one thing that I could do for her while in the womb, but then also for me specifically, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, but seek him in all we do and all I do, and he will show you the path to take. And I think for me specifically, my path kind of shifted for a little while. I was doing what I wanted to do. I was doing what I felt like I wanted to do, and it kind of took me away from my family for a little while. And that's a big but. But the Lord intervened. The Lord stepped in, and the Lord, in a big way, stepped into my life. I think about how I can encourage somebody my age who is going through this change of life. And all I can say is every day is a new day to make a decision. Every day is a new day to make that life-altering decision to either follow the path that the Lord's laid out for you or follow your path that you want aside from the Lord. And so for me specifically, I would say being here at Rock Hill First for over a year now has completely shifted and altered my life. Has shifted how I operate, has shifted how I operate with my family, and it's been exciting. It's been life-altering being here at Rock Hill First, to be welcomed and to be invited into the family, so to speak. We've got to know a lot of people, and I'm just thankful and grateful for Rock Hill First and what you guys have done for us and our family. But I think ultimately what I would say to somebody who is going through what I'm going through as a young dad, there are two verses that stuck out to me. Psalms 21:7, it says, "For the king trusts in the Lord. The unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling." And I think ultimately for me, I had to shift my mindset as the father. I had to shift my mindset of the head of the household and make that decision to trust in the Lord and to only love what the Lord has for me. And so one of the words that I've lived by for this past year is the word intentional. And I think intentional is huge in a lot of aspects, but for my life specifically, being intentional about what I do and how I do it and what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, that has been for the past year my go-to word is intentional, doing things with intentionality, and speaking that life over my daughter who is growing up way too fast. I would just say intentional. And then the last verse that I have here is Psalms 51:12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And I think the word there, joy, is the kicker for me, is that joy, that happiness, that excitement, that love, that cherishing salvation that the Lord has for us has been critical in my life. I know my wife Laura's life as well, just in how we've pivoted literally 180 since we've been here. As a family, as a married couple, and as parents as well. But to finish it out, it says, "And make me willing to obey you." And I think as dads, as husbands, as fathers, we have to be intentional in all areas of our lives, whether you're a dad of a young child, multiple young children. I think Caleb has like 5 or 7 little ones. Good Lord. But I think in all stages of our lives, we need to be intentional. We need to be willing to do the hard things, willing to do the sacrificing, willing to do what it takes to make sure that our families are on the path that they need to be on, most importantly, because at the end of the day, it all falls on the father. It all falls on, you know, the head of the household. And for the longest time, I was... I would say the word is drifting. I was drifting, and it was scary. It was really scary for the longest time. But I think ultimately, intentionality is the 2022 word for me as I move into this next year of my life and next season of my life. Not sure if we're having more babies soon. We'll see. Maybe. She said maybe. We'll see. But I just, two more. Holy moly, brother, slow down. No, I just kind of wanted to come up and speak a little bit of encouragement to those who might be in the same situation as me with a young child. I don't have much experience. I'm a dad of a three-year-old, so, but I feel like my experience, I would say, has been exciting, has been wonderful. I don't think I'd ever want it to be another way. I think our plan, we would have had a child now. I think thinking about it back in the day, 4 years ago, thinking about how that would be, I don't think I'd want the path that we've been on to be any different as far as the Lord blessing us with a beautiful little angel. So I just wanted to come up for a few minutes, share a little bit, and kind of give you some words of wisdom and encouragement. So thank you so much.
Good morning, church. And happy Father Day again to all the fathers out there. I would be, the picture you see up there, or picture actually of my wife and I, our grandkids up there. So that kind of gives you an idea of where I am in my life. We are kind of a multicultural, it's multi-generational when it comes to family, okay? My wife and I got together when we were babies. And we're still together now, so that would have been 37 years ago. My wife and I have been together. Okay? So we have children that range from the age of our daughter's the eldest, and she's 33. We have sons at 30 years old. And then we also have two boys here. You guys know Elijah and Noah. Elijah and Noah are 15 and 17 years old. So we span the gamut when it comes to raising children. And I would say a lot of experience at raising at children, I would say. There's actually our family up there. You can see our daughter, who's the oldest, and all the boys. Very handsome men, I'd say. All look like their father. So, but Pastor Steve, again, I want to give honor to you and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you and just kind of to share my heart with you guys. And you can see I kind of came prepared to preach here. He wanted me to just kind of, but I'm just going to share just a couple of scriptures with you guys and just some of the experience that I've had over the years as a father. And one of the things I can honestly say, and I want to say that we don't have an idea of how fathers can impact the world, how we can impact the nation, you know, through our children. My father impacted me because my passion. A lot of people have different passions in their lives, and I can honestly say, and my wife will tell you, that my passion for me is my family. I mean, my love, my everything is for my family. That's kind of my focus. When I get up during the day, when I'm moving around working, when I'm reading, when I'm studying, everything is just kind of based around my family. And I know that was put inside me from my father, because my father was the same way. My father loved his family. We did so many things when I was young. I was actually a blessed kid. I always remembered everything we've ever done, we've done as a family. There were cookouts and going different places. I mean, everything we did as a family. And I know that was something that was instilled in me and my father. And so I want to speak to the fathers to let you know that how we can have an impact on this world with what we instill in the foundation that we can lay for our children. So the first verse I'm going to give you is in Genesis 18:9, and this is when the Lord visited Abraham, and it says, "For Abraham will continually be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and what is just." And I think that is paramount to us, that the Lord has singled us out and says we as men are to lead and be examples and to just guide our families, because we know what kind of world we live in now. We're living in a world where they're not even so much are out to steal our children's, but they're out to steal our children's minds, okay? And that is kind of a struggle. When Pastor Steve sent me a text, he was talking about what's it like to be a father in the time that we're living in now. And the time to, and being a father right now is we are trying to lay a foundation and bring our children up in the way we know that they should go. And we know the world is their goal is to steal their minds from them, to tell them that left is right and up is down and black is white. Okay. And the world is doing that. And as fathers, we have a responsibility to be steadfast and say, we got actually a saying in our family. We watch a lot of movies, and there's a great poet out there. Some of you guys doing. His name is Popeye, and he got this great saying that we say to this day. Even my older children will tell you, "Wrong is wrong, even if it helps you." Okay, wrong is wrong. And as fathers, we have to be able to stand up and say, "We know what we're seeing in this world, and what you're being told, but wrong is wrong." Okay, wrong is wrong, even if it feels right, you think it's right, or it says right. Wrong is wrong, okay? And so how do we go about doing those type of things that we talked about? The next verse here we're going to read in Ephesians 6:4. And this has to do with relationships with the children, with our children, with all of our children. And it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger in the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction that comes from the Lord." Okay, relationship is one thing that I think us as fathers sometimes we have missed out on. We can be so focused on providing for our families, and we forget that we need to have relationships with our children. If we remember from the very beginning, when the Lord, who is our Father, created Adam and He created Eve and He created this great environment for them in the garden. He gave them everything He needed to give them to function and do the things that they want to do. But it also talks about that He walked with them in the cool of the day, that He spent time with them. He spent time talking with them. And us as fathers need to remember that we need to not only just get up and just go to work and do all the things we need to do, taking care of the house, because I'm guilty of it just as anybody else. My wife will tell you, I'll get up some mornings, I'll start cleaning, I'll clean outside, I'll clean the pool, do what I need to do, and then we'll take off and I go to work, and I work the rest of the day and then come home. But we can't miss out on the fact that as fathers, we need to have relationships with our children, because our Heavenly Father, He had relationships with His children. He walked in the cool of the day. One of the things that my boys and I do when we talk about instruction is we have Bible study together, okay? The Bible talks to us time and time about, you know, instructing our kids and raising them up in the things of the Lord and talking to them about it. There's a verse I'll read there, but Bible study, we'll sit down together and we'll do a whole chapter. We'll break it kind of up into different the different verses, and then we'll all read the chapters, then we'll have a discussion on it, okay? Then we'll have a discussion. And what we are trying to do and what I am trying to do is equip my boys and lay a foundation for this world that they're going out into. Because we all know what times we're living in. And it's not enough to say, okay, we need to raise our kids up. We need to make sure they're productive. We need to make sure they get good jobs. We need to make sure this is that. We need to lay a foundation for our children. We need to instruct them so that when they go out into this world and this world comes at them and says, hey, there's not really a God, what are they going to say? That's not true, or this is not right, or that's not true. Okay, did we equip our children for that time? Because that's the time we're in now. We're not in a time where before things you could just go on and you can grow up and you can go to college and you can go to work. We're not living in that type of time anymore. We're living in a time where our children, we are like drill sergeants, and our children are like young soldiers, and we have to equip our young soldiers for this world that they're about to go into. Okay, and so we want to make sure we spend time in the Word. There, I gave you an example. When I was Elijah and I and Noah, we were all having a Bible study, and I remember one particular verse, and they could tell you about it, where I read ahead so that when it's time for me to, when we have a discussion, I can just kind of talk through it. And I read through the verse or read through the chapter, and it just didn't really grab me. I was just kind of like, okay, Lord, maybe you'll give me something when the time comes. And so I sat down, and Elijah and I'm going to tell you, I said, we're about to start reading in this chapter, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not getting much out of it. The Lord hadn't dropped anything in my spirit. So we start reading through the verse. I read my 10 verses. Noah reads his 10 verses. And then when it was Elijah's turn, he was like, hold up, Dad, let me show you something. And he started paging back to the verses we had read before. And he was like, this is it right here. This is what this verse is talking. This is what this chapter was talking about. And it was like a light went on in my head. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for, you know, that you have deposited in them wisdom, that the Holy Spirit lives inside our boys, and that you've given them wisdom. So it is extremely important that we spend time talking to our children in the things of the Bible, in the Lord. It is in, let me tell you here, actually in Deuteronomy, keeping you in the Old Testament here. And it says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I have given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Excuse me. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as remembrance. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on the gates and on your gates and on your hearts. Okay? And this is even young children that is important that we as fathers be examples and lay a foundation. I used to hear it say sometime that it's good for your kids to see you reading your Bible, and it's good for your kids to see you praying. What's even better is for you and your kids to be reading the Bible together, and for you and your kids also to pray together. That will help so we continue to lay a foundation for our children, so that when they go out in this world, they're going to be prepared. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. My wife and I talk about it continuously. I talk to other people about it. I cannot emphasize how important it is for us as parents, as fathers, to lay a strong foundation when it comes to the Lord for our kids. Okay, so that when that time comes, the Holy Spirit has something that he can kind of work with on there. Closing. All right, I'll make mine quick for you guys. I'm going to be a little transparent with you guys. I haven't even really talked to my wife much about it. But when Pastor Steve texted me about speaking, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, he was sending me a text about speaking. I was really excited. I've been a dad a long time, and I was telling my wife, I got plenty to say. Okay, I got plenty to say. I'm consolidated, but I got plenty to say. But for the 2 weeks that happened, everything was all good. I was just going to work every day, doing what I needed to do. And this past Monday, a week from when it's time for me to speak, I'm on my way to work. I get in there, and then here comes all these crazy thoughts in my mind. Just like that. Like, for 2 weeks, it's been good. And then all of a sudden, I start getting these thoughts about all these remembering things from past, from these decisions I made that weren't the best decisions. Okay, and then how I responded to certain things, and maybe I didn't respond in the right way. Okay, I started getting, and it was going all day long while I was at work. I kind of worked on my own. And when I finally ended my day, I was thinking, I know what this is about. It's spiritual warfare coming at me already during the week, and it's time. So I reached out to some brothers and some of my brothers in Christ. Let them know what was going on and say, hey, you know, can you guys enter into prayer with me this week? And then the next day, it started up all over again, Tuesday. And Tuesday was worse than Monday, because Tuesday, the enemy, it started coming at me, and it was like, you don't even deserve the family you have. Look at all the things that you didn't do all your life, or that you didn't do right, or you didn't make those decisions. Okay, that you don't even deserve the family, which probably hurt me more than anything when that started coming through. And so I started praying and talking to the Lord more and more, excuse me. And so the reason I'm opening up to you guys about that is I want to tell all the men how important it is to have another godly man in your life, or another godly friend. Not just a friend, friends are good, but a godly friend, someone that you can open up and be transparent with and say, hey, this is what I'm going on. This is what I'm dealing with. Can you and I pray together? Can we walk together? Can we walk together on this? Because the world wants us And the enemy wants us to be isolated, to be on his own, so he can kind of work on our mind. Because it was just, it was a constant all week long. I was just getting one after another. You didn't do this right. You said this wrong. You made this mistake. You did that. You did that. Okay. And as fathers, we are looked at to be. We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be able to just walk through a wall and do what you need to do. But sometime, you know, we deal with things eternal on the inside also. And there's a battle also for our mind to still our minds, because if we can get pulled away, then our families are the ones that are hurt. They're the ones that are going to suffer there. And so I encourage every man here to find not just a friend, but a godly man or godly friend that you can reach out to and you can share and say, hey, this is what's going on right now. Okay, can we pray and can we talk together? So I'm going to leave you guys with this verse, which I think is an incredible, awesome verse. It is in it's in Joshua, and it starts here, and it says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. I will give to them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either from the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that it will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Okay? Only then will we truly prosper and succeed when we read this book and when we study this book. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as for every man in here, every woman, everybody in here, be strong and courageous. For the Lord is with us wherever we will go. Okay? Thank you again, Pastor. I appreciate your time.
It's good. Guys, can you see that? Don't you just love that picture of those mountains and that river? You see the river flowing down through there? It's like, yeah, I love that. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. My name is Derek Matthews, and my journey starts in those mountains. And near that river, as a matter of fact. I actually probably took that picture. No, I didn't. but I did grow up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it was near a river. So, and coincidentally, Father's Day, I grew up without a father. But God did provide. He provided a great mother and a strong grandfather and an amazing uncle that was incredible. He poured into me and my brothers. And so I did have that godly influence of a man. It just wasn't a father. But it was in those mountains that I met this little girl named Greta Davis. There you go. Yep, and it was against her mother's wishes and her better judgment. True story, not kidding. These two kids got married. And these two kids had two kids. And you can read about it in my book. But, you know, spoiler alert, the mother did end up loving me, and I loved her. So, but these kids are Kelly and Danielle. And we keep them in the nursery. That way we don't have to have any behavioral problems during service, that kind of stuff. So they do well there. It just seems to be the best place for them. They're back there right now, as a matter of fact. So during my short term as a father, you know, I've discovered a few things. And this morning I'm going to discuss only three topics. If you can bring that up. There we go. So relativity of time formula. I am an engineer, so we need to do some math somewhere. And then children see dead people. Yeah, that was really creepy the first time I heard that. I see dead people. But it was actually in a movie that, that you know, we see that in Hollywood. But our children are watching us. And if you're not living for the Lord, do they see dead people? And then the Tower of Babel. Now, how we're going to tie that in with fatherhood, just wait and see. So how many have heard an old person say, like, oh, time really flies by. It just goes. We've heard it this morning already. You know, young father talking about how a three-year-old, the time flies by. And these old people will say, you better enjoy those babies while you can, because, it won't be long. You'll be old like me. And it stinks. It's blah, blah, blah. It's so bad. Getting old's terrible. You better enjoy that time. He's like, yep. And then one day, you're teaching them how to play with toys. And then the next day, they're toddlers and you're having to leave the beach and they're upset. And then, voila, next thing you know, they're teenagers. Like, gosh, it's like overnight. How did it happen? Well, I think I want to try to explain this with time relativity. So this is where we're going with this. So we've got to understand that time is a part of creation. Genesis chapter 1 describes the creation of time. And so time is supposed to be a constant. It's mathematical for us. We all have 24 hours a day. You know, we all got the same amount of time. Yep, but time is relative. It's relative to your circumstances. For example, I discovered as a parent, in hindsight, that the transition from being a baby to high school took about 2 years. Seriously. You're talking about 3 years gone in a flash. Wait till 10 years are gone in a flash. And that's what I'm going to call parent time. And so, but at the same time, I experienced 2 years, our daughters experienced 75 years to get through high school. Do you remember looking at that clock on the wall and you're seeing it in class? Remember this? And you look and like, it's going backwards. I mean, it literally, I think, went backwards sometimes. That's how slow time moves for our children sometimes. And then, but if you look at the calendar, you know, our constant, it was 18 years from being a baby through high school. So, and then you have the man, the God who created time. There's his time. He's the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He's across the span of time, right? So he works in his time. And I know that's kind of hard to understand because we are chronological. We understand the calendar. But, you know, here's where I want to put some math. I want to do a little bit of math on this. So if we look at God's time for 18 years, you would take 18 and you would divide that by infinity. See, God's dealing with eternity, so it is infinity. So if we did that math, if you tried to do that math, you would get 0.000, and we're talking about units of time here, 0.00000000, go around the world thousands of times, and you still don't have the real number. That's eternity. That's infinity. And that's the time that God's dealing with. So the reason, I want to understand this, the reason I think we need to grasp this, and well, first off, James chapter 4, verse 14, talks about that relativity of time, putting it in perspective for us. He says, what is your life? You are a mist, you're a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So there are many different types of mist and vapors. But the point here is they fade quickly. We can watch a mist fade away, and it literally only takes a couple of seconds for a mist to fade away. And he's putting that in perspective of that is what your life is. So I'm saying that it took 2 years to watch my babies grow up and get through high school. It literally, by God's definition here, it was just seconds in the span of eternity. So when we're dealing with our children, when we're talking about how precious that time is, you need to think about this. So it is precious. But they do need to see us go to work. They do need to see us with our hand to the plow and doing things and serving the Lord. You can't just sit and you know, take him out of bed and spend. No, I'm not talking about that. But it is that you do spend the quality time. Exactly what Lloyd was talking about. We have to spend that quality time with our children because it is precious. And so, and then also understanding and being patient with them, you know, when it comes to their perspective of time is different than yours. So we got to know this. And then God's timing is perfect. His will for us is perfect, and we need to wait on him sometimes. So I remember on the day that I held my first grandchild, and you talk about a strange deja vu, because I am holding my baby, and there's Greta exhausted laying in the bed beside of me. I mean, I'm literally, this is a feeling I had when I was holding that baby. But it wasn't Greta laying in the bed beside of me. And I wasn't holding my baby. I was holding my baby's baby. And right then, I'm telling you, I had an experience at that moment to show how that vapor dissipates. How did we get to this point? So, yep, it's exactly like all them old people told me. It went like that, just like that. So take my word for it now. Oh, Lord, am I going to tell how old I am now? So this happened. This is what happened. So these kids had two kids. And then those two kids had five kids. And then they brought these two wonderful men into our family. You know, and Greta and I had just celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary this week, as a matter of fact. And if y'all are not thinking this, I know you should be thinking this, like, how could that happen if he turned 49 in May? Like, you know, we don't have time to do that, and I'll explain that later. You can read that in my book. But we no longer have children. We have friends and fellow servants working for the Lord. So, fellow servants of Christ. Now, kids do see everything, including dead people. Sin leads to death, right? We know that sin leads to death. And if you're not living for Christ, if you're a father and you're not living for Christ, believe me, your children know it. And it is not eluding them. You're not fooling them. Because our actions, all our actions, have consequences. Whether it's good or bad, they affect our children and everyone around us. For example, our kids really are in the nursery right now. You know, they're in their 30s, but they're in the nursery. And do you think it's by chance or accident that they're in the nursery? It's like, no, it's not. It's because they saw their mom and dad serving. And they see us serving, and naturally they're going to want to, they think this is what they should do. However, on the flip side, my son-in-law, Jason, has told me on more than one occasion, that woman I'm married to is definitely your daughter. And I don't think he meant it as a compliment. Maybe sometimes he does. So they're also seeing the bad things. They pick up on the bad traits. And I'm sorry, Will. I'm sorry, Jason. I'm sorry, Kelly and Danielle, for the bad traits that you may have gotten from me. Because, you know, we as fathers are not perfect, but it should be our goal to be so and live a quality life in front of them, living for the Lord. And then here's, I want to put a picture of Kennedy up from week before last, where she was teaching, she was preaching, she was speaking for our Sunday morning service while we was camping. She prepared, she studied. You could tell she understood 1 Corinthians 13. She got it. Well, you think it's an accident that she was doing this? Did she just all of a sudden develop a desire for it? No, she has watched her father. She's watched her father preach and teach. And she designed. JT was up here worshiping and praising the Lord this morning because his father was. We've got to be that example for them. So, next slide. Our children, as we're talking about, need to see the example of a man and a father so that they got to have something to look to. They got to have that standard because that is what they're going to become. If you want your daughter to marry a good man, then you be a good man. That's what she's going to look for. You know, you want your son to be a good husband and a good father, then be a good father to him. That's the way it works. So, and then the other one is one of the most difficult subjects to talk about and to do, and that's discipline. Lack of discipline, lack of structure in a child's life, it will lead to an unhappy adult. It's just the way it is. And I can't recommend the best type of discipline for your child. You can read about it in my book. But discipline is one of the hardest things to do as a parent. It takes diligence. It takes fairness. It takes loving without anger. Now, I failed at that so many times, and I'm not saying that all anger is bad. You know, there are times when we are to get angry at something, but when you're disciplining your children, that's not when you do it. They need to know that you love them. They need to know that the purpose and the reason for the punishment. So when we punished our children, I would always make them repeat why, or not always, but most of the time, ask them, why am I punishing you? And I would get this answer many times. I know, Dad, I know. It's because you love me. That's right, honey. It's because I love you. If I didn't, it would be easier for me to just let you do whatever you want. And I'd say, now, are you happy? Are you happy? Like, no. Like, if you want to be happy, then learn to behave. That's what will make you happy. Now, they heard that again and again and again and again and again their whole entire life. They heard that phrase. But I bet you they won't forget it. I guarantee you they're going to remember that. All right, let's look at the Tower of Babel now. It's going to figure out how we're going to work this into fatherhood. Concerning the people of Babel, they were building a great city and a great tower to the sky. And then I want to look at verse 6. It says, the Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language, they begin to do this, then there is nothing they plan to do is impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. I love this scripture so much that I use it in professional presentations, even in New York City, because the Lord said that nothing they plan to do is impossible for them. So what happened when their language was confused? He broke their ability to be of one mind, one goal, and when he destroyed their communication. So it is all about communicating. Communicating is the key to the success of any endeavor, project, or relationship with your wife, your kids, your job, and with the Lord. It's about communicating. You have to take the time to communicate. You have to be diligent, concerted effort in it. Because, you know, when they're 2 years old and learn to speak, it seems like they won't shut up. Then all of a sudden they become teenagers and you can hardly get a word out of them. That happens. Did they quit talking? No, they did not quit talking. They just quit talking to you. Now they're confiding in their friends. Boy, aren't they a wealth of knowledge, right? They're consulting in their friends because their friends know what they're going through. They understand them better. So we do have to communicate that we do understand. And you to do that, you cut off the TV. You cut off the phone, you have dinner together, you spend time together as a family, and that gives opportunities to communicate. You use things in your life to communicate those life lessons. You know, when we're backpacking, we're all the time talking about how, look at this creation, look at what God did. There's no way this could happen without God. There's all kinds of ways that we can communicate with our children to where they can understand that God is our Lord and He is for us. And I'll close with this. And I will do want to put a, I guess a disclaimer that I do not, the shameless plugs for my book, it really doesn't exist. That means come see me, because the book's up here. So I'd love to talk to you. I have no problem talking to you about my book. So just come see me. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it will go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Thank you, guys.
God, you are my Father. Because of the sacrifice of your Son, because of your grace and mercy and forgiveness of my sin. Speaking as your Son on Father's Day, I've come to ask you for help for the Son you've given me. Please make him hungry for wisdom every day. Cause him to quickly lose his appetite for the foolishness of the world. Help him to recognize your power in all that you've made and to grasp the meaning of love you showed him on the cross. Give him the courage to escape the sins that will trap him and the pride that will blind him to his need for you. Bring him to the moment where he will fix his eyes on Jesus and begin to run the race you've marked out for him. Thank you for making a way for my son to be your son. Help him to become the man you mean for him to be.
Thankful for God's grace. I haven't always gotten it right, but I'm thankful that I got a son that's here this morning, and he loves Jesus with all of his heart. He loves the Lord, and he's leading a life in his family in the ways of God. I'm honored by that, son, that you love the Lord, and it's got to be because of your mom, not because of me. But you might be here this morning and say, Pastor Steve, I don't know that I've gotten a lot of things right. You may have a prodigal son. You may be a son that has a prodigal dad. But I do know one thing. It's never too late to say yes to Jesus. It's never too late to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and be my Savior. We're living in a generation where there's a time where there's multiple generations of fatherless kids. We live in a somewhat fatherless society. My dad's passed on. He's been gone about 20 years now. I miss him. I don't think you ever get over that, do you? If you have a dad that's passed on, there's days where I just woke up this morning thinking about him. I remember him being at this altar and giving his heart to Jesus many times. I want to pray for you if that's you. And I pray that somehow today you've been encouraged, men. I enjoyed these guys. Did you guys enjoy these guys sharing today? Let them know it. I'm not sure where I'm at in that. Listening to Drew's heart, and I'm thinking back when our kids were little. We had the same plan. We got pregnant like the first year we were married, so we had the same plan. We had the 5-year plan planned, right, and it didn't work out that way. And thank you, Drew, for reminding us that it's every day you get up and you. You decide, I'm going to follow Jesus today, every day. And you make that mental and that heart conviction. And then, Lloyd, thank you for reminding us of the importance of the Word of God, standing on the Word, teaching your kids the Word, reading the Word with your kids. I recall times where we would have devotion at dinner time and just special times where we would do that together as a family, and each kid would take a turn to do a devotion each night, and those are precious times that we had doing that. And Derek, thank you for reminding us of just the commitment to know the Father and walk in Him every day. Just lead that life of example, and thankful that your kids are serving God today, because it's something they caught from us, right? Not so much, it is what we say and how we lead our life, but it's more what they catch from just watching us, the commitment to your family and setting that example. What a great challenge for all of us men. And so I would like to do something, guys, if we could, and I just appreciate you being here today, those watching online as well. I'd like for all the dads, if you would just stand. All the dads, if you'll just stand. Thank you, Lord. Look around you. Isn't this beautiful? I would like for you guys just the opportunity, if you would just come around these men and you'd begin to pray for them right now, if you would. Just stand. Those of you close by somebody, just come and stand with and pray for your dad. Pray for your dad. Those watching online, those men that are watching you and you're a father, we want to pray for you as well. We want to pray blessings over you and your household. You know, I learned a long time ago, and I think it's so important, that your first disciples, men, is your family. I had fathers stand, but let's have all the men stand, because this is a challenge for all the men in the house and all those men watching online. Your first disciples are those closest to you, and you lead that life before them, and you just make that commitment today, if you will, in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks, God, for the opportunity to know you, Lord. There might be a man in this place today or watching online to say, Pastor Steve, I'm not where I need to be in God, and I've made a mess of things, and I need to come to a place of repentance, of turning my back on, or turning around, turning my back against myself and turning my face towards Jesus and saying, Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior, and God, forgive me of my past, and I can make a decision today to live for you, Lord, and I do that right now. I make an about face, and I begin to follow you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, Lord. You continue, God, to pour out your grace, and your mercies are new every morning, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, we would take these words today, God. We would take this moment today, God, and we would say yes to you, Lord Jesus. We make a commitment again, Lord, wherever we're at in this life, and however old our kids are, maybe we don't have children yet, God, but we say, I'm going to be the man of God that you've called me to be. And as for me and my house, just like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And I make that determination that, God, you be Lord over my home. I declare that today in the mighty name of Jesus, and I give you praise. So, Lord, we lift up our dads. We pray for these men in our lives, and we ask that you give them strength. God, give them the endurance. Lord, give them the peace that passes understanding. And we pray, God, also for this fatherless generation that's out there. God, I pray that, Lord, for the north, south, east, and west, God, you would call them, Lord Jesus, to know you, Father, that you would use Christian men. You'd use your church, Lord, in these last days, God, to pour out your hope and your love, Lord, and your gospel message to all that we know. So, Lord, that these fatherless children, Lord, could know and see who you are, God, through our lives. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for you are the ultimate example for us, Father, to follow you, God, is to lead well, to follow you. So, Lord, we follow hard after your heart.